It's time on Radio Yorkshire to chat movies. And joining myself and Joe in the studio is the lovely Catricia.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good now that we don't have to talk about Sterling anymore.
Yay! It's done and dusted. It's done and dusted. Good news in that respect. And we've got loads to come on the movies as well. We've got movie news on the way. We're going to be reviewing Terminator Genesis, which I went and had a look at last night. And Ant-Man is the brand new movie. So we'll be looking ahead to that, and we'll look and see what's coming up on the Gogglebox for you this weekend. Pick out a few choice TV movies for you. Okay, let's start with some movie news. And well, you said to me just outside the studio, Kat, that you had loads of movie news, so I'll let you start.
Okay, well, there's going to be a comic based on The Usual Suspects. It's going to reveal the origins of Kaiser Soze.
Kaiser Soze.
I don't want to say too much without giving it away. It's based on the 1993 film.
Yeah, Bryan Singer directed it.
Yeah, it's got Kevin Spacey, Patrick... Not Patrick, I forgot everyone else that's in it.
You've got Guillermo... what was it? Who's the guy that my wife does not like, who just mumbles? Benicio del Toro. But yeah, it's all about Kevin Spacey, that film, really. It's all about Kevin Spacey, because he's... oh, come on, we're at the realm now.
No.
It's long enough after.
It's got Stephen Baldwin in.
There we go. Joe saved us with a Baldwin.
One of the fatter Baldwins. And also Gabrielle Byrne, of course, as well.
And Pete Postlethwaite.
Yes, the late, great Pete Postlethwaite.
Yorkshire's very own.
Very true. Yeah, well done, well done.
It's a great film. You should go and watch it if Darren hasn't just spoiled the ending for you.
But yeah, watch it. It's great. Have you ever seen it?
I've not, no.
Oh,
no.
Wow, wait. It's written by Christopher McQuarrie, and he is the guy that has directed the soon-to-be-released Mission Impossible 4. Christopher McQuarrie. He's a big mate of... Big mate with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He did the
Edge of Tomorrow as well.
Yeah, and Jack Reacher and Valkyrie. So they've done a fair few things together. So, I do like The Usual Suspects. I like comic books, so I think I may be purchasing one.
Oh, good.
I think so.
Good.
San Diego Comic-Con, if we're talking comics, San Diego Comic-Con happened, and so much came out of it. A lot of people were saying before it was happening that it was going to be a bit of a disappointing Comic-Con, and there wasn't really that much to jump up and down about. That was mainly because Marvel weren't really there, and they weren't doing that much at that. But realistically... Well, that enabled Warner Brothers to jump on board, and realistically, you look at it and you just think 2016... Warner Brothers look like they're going to absolutely own 2016. Mm. First of all, you saw a Batman Superman trailer that really looked good. Really looked good. It did still look a little bit smashy, smashy, bashy, smashy, smashy, which is, of course, what Zack Snyder seems to do. But that was the disappointing thing about it. But I thought Ben Affleck looked very, very good indeed. As Batman. So that looked good. But I think the one people were waiting for from Warner Brothers was one I think we're both talking about this morning, which is the Suicide Squad.
Yes.
Which is a fantastic villain mashup, if you don't know. And we had got our very first look, really, at Jared Leto as the Joker. Margot Robbie, who is just all kinds of beautiful. And she's playing Harley Quinn. Will Smith's in there as well. He plays a character called Deadshot.
I'm not keen on Will Smith being there. When I looked at the trailer, it just looked like him in £7 again.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a benefit because the trailer looked fantastic. It really, really did look like it was going to be one of the biggest films of next year.
And that's pre-production as well. That's before all the special effects for a trailer to be that good.
It was impressive. Even there was a snippet of Batman in that movie as well. So already they're doing some like crossovers, which is what fans want. They love to see that. Suicide Squad look like they're going to be fantastic.
Does it end up in the Suicide Squad taking on the Warner Brothers version of the Avengers?
Warner Brothers version of the Avengers is the Justice League, what Batman and Superman, Batman Super versus Superman Dawn of Justice. Batman versus Superman: Dawn of Justice. So they're building up, and also Wonder Woman's in that film as well. Yeah. The very, very gorgeous Gal Gadot from Fast and Furious.
Jesse Eisenberg's in it.
Lex Luthor, he plays, and he looks really, really good as well. Jeremy Irons plays Alfred, Batman's butler, and he looked fantastic. So all of these are going to come together. Suicide Squad's going to come together with it. But I think you're not a big fan of Jared Leto.
I am a fan of him.
Yeah?
I'm just very... As I explained to you yesterday, I said that I really liked Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
And he played Raven in there.
He was really good, and he won an Oscar.
Yeah, he won an Oscar for that.
Yes, yeah. But I was very, very aware that he was acting, and I said to you, his performance was even a little bit self-conscious, and it might be because he took, what, 6 years...
Six years of
acting, which is inevitable. But him as the Joker is splitting people.
If you just watch the trailer, just to watch the line at the end where he just says, "I'm not going to kill you, I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad." And it's just it's a great line. You just think straight away, yeah, you're going to be excellent at this. I mean, it's big shoes to fill, like great Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
That sent a bit of chills down my spine watching that. So I was really, really excited after all that. I thought there were quite a lot that came out of San Diego Comic-Con that was pretty damn fine, really. What else from you, Katricia?
Well, I was just about to say I've had a lot of opinion. People were telling me a lot of opinions about Jared Leto. Lots of people can't let go.
Okay.
Heath. They can't let
no,
Heath
no,
go.
No, it's understandable.
But this is a different take on it.
Yeah.
I really, like I said, thought, oh, God, Jared Leto as the thingy. I remember in Urban Legends, like teen movies and stuff. And I think he'll be really good. But as I said, it's splitting people's opinion.
My first memory of Jared Leto on screen is American Psycho, when he gets his head caved in by Christian Bale.
Which I only saw a month ago, which I absolutely love.
To Huey Lewis and the News is the music going on in the background. Hip to be square. Brilliant. Your next piece of news?
So, Jesse Eisenberg's got himself in a little bit of hot water about Comic-Con.
What did he do?
Well, I think when you take the kind of movies that Jesse does and go on the press junket tours that he does, you know what you're going to expect. He's compared Comic-Con to genocide.
Well, that's nice, isn't it, really? Because those are the people that are going to be buying the tickets next year, Jesse.
He said that it's like being screamed at by thousands of people. I don't know what the experience is throughout the history. Probably some kind of genocide. I can't think of anything that's the equivalent. Now, I thought he was an intelligent man. Maybe a close your mouth.
I don't think you really want to be saying that. Certainly not a place where, you know, a lot of people will absolutely love you.
Yeah.
Or just for waving at them.
Full of super geeks.
Yeah.
Comic-Con's for love.
I want to go. I've wanted to go to Comic-Con for years. That's probably the only reason I'd like to go to San Diego. Mm. Apart from obviously visiting Ron Burgundy, that's about it. Really,
go with Tom Feeney. He really wants to go because a lot of wrestlers end up at Comic Con.
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be going for that.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, on
holiday with Tom Feeney, Comic Con. I would go. I would go to Comic Con with Tom Feeney.
I would.
I've sorted it for 2016.
Sorted. There we go. We're doing outside broadcast from San Diego. Would you like to be in a movie?
I was going to ask you the same question, but yeah.
Wait, really?
Do you
have
to pass for a 12-year-old?
Between 8 and 12.
I think I could do it.
I think you could. Yes, because the people behind Harry Potter now the new one, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which has been scripted by, of course, J.K. Rowling, and is directed by the director David Yates, who directed the last three or four Harry Potter films.
They were the ones that got good.
Yeah, it got good from about number three, Prisoner of Azkaban by Alfonso Cuarón. And then it got steadily better from then on. But yes, Warner Brothers and the makers of Harry Potter are casting a role in their new film, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. They're looking for a girl between the ages of 8 to 12 years for the role of Modesty. Between 8 to 12 years. You'd probably need a bit of strapping down, I think. Just a little bit strapping down, if I'm being honest with you, Kat. Modesty is a haunted young girl.
Yeah.
With an inner strength and stillness. I'm thinking yes, Kat. I'm thinking yes.
Amp the paranoid nature of myself.
She has an ability to see deep into people and understand them.
Well, taxi drivers are often surprised that I'm not at school. So,
if you've got a daughter or a niece or just a friend that you think actually would be up for this, if you want to apply to be considered and you fit the criteria, you need to go along to make an application and meet a member of the casting team and have a photo taken Saturday 18th, this coming Saturday, Excel Centre Hall, Royal Victoria Dock in London. And the queues open at 9 o'clock. They'll close about 1. No one permitted to join the queue after 1 o'clock. The application process will begin at 10 o'clock. So give it a go. They've got to cast someone. You never know. It could be you.
Do you think that I could dress up as an 8-year-old girl?
Yeah,
I think you could. I think you'd also be arrested.
Look what it's done for Harry Potter and his crew.
Well, he didn't. I don't think he dressed up as an 8-year-old girl to get the part, but right, you never know. You never know.
We should have gone for that role.
You really should have gone for that role. You'd have been perfect.
Got the glasses and everything.
You'd have been perfect. Yeah. You'd have been perfect. So,
damn you, Daniel
I don't
Radcliffe.
Know. If Isabel was 5 years older, I would be taking her down there. But a haunted young girl, I don't think she's that at the moment. Maybe she's
very happy.
That. She's a very happy young girl. So good luck if you have a go at that.
Daniel Radcliffe, I did a online lookalike.
Oh, yeah.
And it came up, you put your face on, and it gives you all these.
Oh, the celebrity
people.
You look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had 5 Chinese actresses and Daniel Radcliffe.
Do you know what mine came up as?
What?
The Rock.
Did it?
I looked apparently like The Rock. I looked nothing like The Rock.
Yeah. I looked nothing like Daniel Radcliffe.
I was going to say Herman Munster.
Oh, well, for me, really? For you. All right, okay, that's all right. Kat, your last bit of news.
Oh, gosh, I've got to whittle it down. Oh, this is too good. The Backstreet Boys are uniting for a zombie movie.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's called Dead
My
7.
My God. It's called Dead 7.
Yeah, it gets right. better.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, sure.
So, obviously, in the 90s, they reign supreme.
Yeah.
Do what they want, you know.
Everybody!
Nick Carter's going out with Hilton and all of that jazz.
Yeah, right.
So now he's taken to Twitter to beg people to make a cameo in his film. So he must be, pushing 40?
Yeah, I would have thought so.
He's asked Niall from One Direction to be his little brother. He said, oh, man, I know we're from... I'm not going to try the accent. We're from different generations.
Yeah.
But would you like to appear in my movie? Then so you think, oh, let's start high. Then he goes higher... and asks for Paul McCartney on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then he kind of goes a bit left field and asks for Mel B.
Surely, I mean, Mel B will do it. She'll do anything. But surely you don't go begging on Twitter. We would.
Yeah, we
because
would.
Because we're like nobody. But at least he must have connections, you would imagine, rather than just social network and look like a really needy man.
Maybe because they're just coming out back as pop stars. They've only just found Twitter. It's like, oh, this is new. Let's try this.
Look, I can message Paul McCartney.
Ooh, best friends. Something you would say.
I'm not looking forward to that film. One film I am looking forward to, however. Yes, it's time for Star Wars News of the Week. This is a regular segment now. Luckily, there's Star Wars news every week, which is great. And there will be right up until the new Star Wars film comes out.
I've not done this
for a
while.
And there will be afterwards.
And you're still going on with this, are you?
Every week. Okay. The Star Wars news this week was from San Diego Comic-Con. They had a Star Wars panel, which was unbelievably good because Harrison Ford was there. He's all right now. He's got his legs back. Because, of course, he crashed the plane and hurt himself quite severely. But he looked amazing. Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill was there.
Carrie Fisher did not look amazing.
She looks
all
right.
She's pushing 70.
J.J. Abrams was there. Kathleen Kennedy. The Lawrence Kasdan, the writer of this new film. So there was plenty of people there. And they also showed a three and a half minute behind-the-scenes look. And you got to see bits and pieces that you've never seen before. So you got to see... you got to see Carrie Fisher as Leia now in there, so
in
that was
bikini.
Interesting. No, she didn't wear a bikini. So I can't imagine she'd be wearing a bikini, but if she did, but also you saw shots of Daisy Ridley's her character Rey piloting the Millennium Falcon. Does that mean she is Han and Leia's daughter? Is that what we're meant to think? We don't know these are things you've got to be thinking about. But there was loads, and also Simon Pegg. turned up in there, despite the fact that he vehemently denies that he was in the new Star Wars film. He is in the new Star Wars film, and he is playing some creature, which is obviously, you can't tell it's Simon Pegg. It's like you can't tell Daniel Craig's in it because he's in a Stormtrooper costume. But Daniel Craig's in the new Star Wars film, so is Simon Pegg. And what was great about it was that they were... They've gone back a bit old school and they've shown a lot of the stuff that they've been filming, and it's non-CGI. They've been doing everything in camera. They've been doing, there's real models. They've gone back to what the 1977 and Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi was good for. It was great for groundbreaking special effects, but
do you think
also
he's excited
using
about this
fantastic
new
stuff.
Yeah, maybe.
So there we go. There is your Star Wars news for today.
It's pretty good though, isn't it? Because they don't have to give those people secret roles. It's like they're honouring people's childhoods.
Yeah. Exactly right. Exactly right. Because I think Simon Pegg would have given his right arm to be a character in Star Wars.
Is Warwick Davis in it?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Do Ewoks age?
I would have thought so. But then again, Chewbacca hasn't really. He looks pretty much the same as he did.
Yeah, but he's got loads of hair on his face. Yeah. So maybe he's using just for Wookiees.
That's true. So, yeah, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. And that, of course, is December 18th. Cinemas near you. Booking tickets soon. I've already discussed with my wife what's going to happen. I'm going to go to, like, a midnight showing. And then we'll go that day as well, so she can go and see it. So I'll see it twice in a day.
Is she happy about that?
Does she want to go and watch it? She wants to definitely go and see it.
She's not a super fan, is she?
She's not a super fan. She is a fan, though, now. Okay. She sort of has to be. Just let's have a look ahead to the big new movie this week, which stars Paul Rudd and Michael Douglas, and looks fantastic. It's a brand new one for Marvel. Will it be the Guardians of the Galaxy for this year? It's Ant-Man.
Scott. I've been watching you for a while now. You're different. Now, don't let anyone tell you that you have nothing to offer. Second chances don't come around all that often. I suggest you take a really close look at it. This is your chance to earn that look in your daughter's eyes, to become the hero that she already thinks you are. It's not about saving our world. It's about saving theirs. Scott, I need you. Be the Ant-Man.
Huh.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Hey, Dave. Well, 27. I don't know why I did that noise then.
It's because I did this.
Oh, yeah, there you go. You raise your hands in the air, I go, ooh-wah. 27 minutes away from 10 here on Radio Yorkshire. Transfer tittle-tattle on the way. We look at the TV movies. We continue to talk to movies in the company of Joe and, of course, Patricia Katmar, who's joined us in the studio this morning. We've had a look at the movie news, and now let's talk a review of Terminator Genisys.
Genisys.
It's spelt a little bit differently. Genysis. I went and saw this last night in 2D because the 3D one wasn't on until 9:10 at night, and I needed my sleep. So that's why I went to the 8:10. And what I hate about going to like the 2D versions of them now is they always plonk them in a ridiculously small cinema that is no bigger than my lounge. So that always upsets me straight away because they're the most uncomfortable. Always find. Don't you find the smaller cinemas? I mean, I'm talking in a multiplex.
It depends, but yeah, on the whole, they are.
It just annoys me. And you just think, my TV's as big as this screen. It's not, but it feels like that. But anyway, the film itself. So we start off in the future, and John Connor and Carl Reese, characters you know from Terminators. Effectively, this film takes place after Terminator 2. In the future, they've effectively forgotten about Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines. They've effectively forgotten about Terminator Salvation. They're not referenced at all. But T1 and T2, they're pretty much referenced quite heavily, certainly in the first half an hour of this film. And so you're in the future, you're with John Connor, and you're with Kyle Reese. They've pretty much obliterated Skynet, but it looks like the Terminator has just been sent back to 1984 to kill Sarah Connor. So they need to send back Carl Reese to what we saw in that first film in 1984. When they go back to 1984, things are all different. And it becomes quite obvious that things are different because this is where it gets complicated. Another Terminator
has been sent back
10 years before, and that's old Arnold Schwarzenegger. So Arnold Schwarzenegger is almost like a father figure to Sarah Connor. She calls him Pops. Now, if you can sit there and you can sort of these films, when it's time travel, when it's a sequel and they're trying to sort of reboot something, it is difficult. And there has to be a lot of Basil exposition for them to sort of like explain things and make sure you're aware of what happens. And I think that's the only thing that sort of makes the film fall down a bit, because it's a little bit complicated. And you're sort of like, well, what? Why is that happening there and why is that happening here? And then you're like, all right, okay. But if you can just dispel all of that, okay, and sit there and enjoy a Terminator film as a Terminator film, then I think you'll actually really enjoy it. I actually really enjoyed it. I sat there and I thought, yeah, it's completely unbelievable, but it's a robot. Look, it's killing people. It is unbelievable. Arnold Schwarzenegger is fantastic in it. I know he doesn't have to do that much, but he's really, really funny. He has some great one-liners as always. Of course, he says, "I'll be back," because that's what he has to say. That's written in his contract, I think. But he's really, really quite funny in it. And we came out of it, and I was expecting my wife to go. I was just came out and I thought, I really enjoyed that. I know a lot of people have sort of thought the first half hour is okay, and then it goes downhill. The action set pieces are really, really good. Mm. It's a great action film. It muddles on at quite a pace. I don't think it was particularly long. It didn't feel very, very long. I didn't, 30, 40 minutes in, start feeling a little bit itchy and bored. I just really quite enjoyed it. I loved Emilia Clarke, who plays Sarah Connor. I'm not a big fan of Jai Courtney. I didn't like him as Bruce Willis's son in Die Hard 5 or whatever that one was called. Live Hard, Die Free. I don't know what it was called. I wasn't a big fan of it. He's in the new Suicide Squad film as well. Overall, if I was going to give it a mark out of 5, I would probably give it a 3.5.
But I
honestly really did quite enjoy it. I think if for a bit of fun, a couple of hours popcorn movie in the summer in the cinema, it's brilliant.
You've got to be a Terminator fan, though, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, you've got to have watched Terminator 1. There's loads of references to 1984. When they go back to 1984, they almost reconstruct scenes from that first film, and then they've got... So it's very cleverly done, you do need to have watched Terminator 1 and 2.
It just sounds a little bit complicated.
We were looking at each other.
It's a little bit complicated, but once you sit there and you watch it, it's not so bad. It's not so bad.
I watched it on TV.
Yeah.
I would go and see it in the cinema.
Yeah. Purely you need the for cinema the fact. Effects.
Do you know what? I'm becoming more in love with Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's becoming better and better as he gets older, I think. I'm going to be watching this week. I'm going to watch Maggie, which is his film about him with zombie daughter. And apparently, he's getting like rave reviews about his emotional performance in it. I'm going to wait and see, but that's what I'm going to be watching this week.
Well, when you were explaining the plot, me and Joe looked at each other like we were back in school and they're going, you're doing calculator maths paper today? We're like, oh, God, what
is
going on?
It is a little bit complicated. It is a little bit complicated. But the only downside I would say is that there is a massive spoiler in the trailer.
That's what everyone has said.
Huge spoiler. Even the director has said, what the hell have you done that for? Because it is a massive spoiler. And you're sort of like, you know what's sort of going to happen. But, lo and behold, great. And if it does reboot the franchise, then superb. I don't think it's done spectacularly well across the globe. I think it's done okay business. And there'll probably be another one. And okay, I'm quite happy to see Arnold Schwarzenegger back as a Terminator again. He was really good. An enjoyable couple of hours.
Fair enough.
Let's have a look at to the TV movies of the week coming up. Kat, what have you gone for?
I've got absolutely loads, but...
Have you really? Loads and loads.
Yeah, they are.
I've picked out three that we're going to be going for this weekend. Joe, how many have you got?
Two.
Okay. Well, Joe, while Kat's shuffling some papers, we will come to you and get your first pick.
Okay, Friday night, 7:15 on Film 4. This is one of my favourite animations. I went to watch it in the cinema. Yeah. I really loved the book as well as a child. The Fantastic Mr. Fox. It's Wes Anderson's animation. It's quirky, as you'd expect from Wes Anderson. It stars George Clooney as Mr. Fox, Meryl Streep, Jason Schwartzman, Bill Murray in it as well.
Yeah.
It's a great kids' film as well.
It's a great kids' film, you're right.
It's one for adults. I just love it, yeah.
7:15, Film 4. I think Billy even picked that one last week as well. It was on last week as well. So it's obviously doing the rounds on Film 4. But it's a good pick. It's a great film. And if you didn't catch it last week, make sure you catch it this week. Patricia?
We've had a couple more replies about the Jared Leto.
Oh, right, okay.
So someone said he doesn't think he's right for the part, would have preferred someone else. Someone said, feels a bit Panto-ish from the trailer. His laugh is incredible, though. In his defence, someone said, I think you're being a bit cynical. I think he'll be OK. No Heath Ledger, but OK. And then final comment, I think he'll be brilliant. A different Joker to Heath, just as Heath was a different Joker to Jack Nicholson, just as he was a different Joker to Cesar Romero.
We will see. Summer 2016.
So, my films.
Yeah.
If no one's seen this, you have to see it with a box of tissues because you'll cry. It's called Amour. It's a French film.
Ah, yes.
It's about a French couple who are ageing and going through...
Beautiful film.
Yeah, beautiful film, but tragic and...
Mm. Oh, it's a real...
Too real.
Oh, it is a real tearjerker. When's that on?
Tomorrow on Channel 4 at 1:20 to 3:30.
In the morning? Okay, that's a good pick. Well done.
Thanks.
No problem. I'm going on Friday at 10:40 ITV1, Gladiator, Maximus Decimus Meridius, and possible owner of Leeds United. This is, of course, Russell Crowe, Joaquin Phoenix, Derek Jacobi, Oliver Reed in his last film role as well.
Ashes and Dust.
Directed by Ridley Scott from the year 2000. And it's fantastic. It's really the role that everybody suddenly thought, who's Russell Crowe? And it is really, really good. If you've never seen it before, spectacularly good film. And that's on Friday night on ITV1. Joe.
I'm going for a Sunday afternoon film.
Nice.
A bit of a family classic. Because I like watching a film on a Sunday afternoon. You know, you've just had your dinner. There's no football on at the minute. So instead of Super Sunday, whack a film on.
Nice.
Just chill out. And Back to the Future Part 2 is on ITV2. Now, I know the Back to the Future films, they keep getting rolled out on the ITV
channels. They're always worth watching.
But Beetlejuice is on around the same time on Five Star as well. So you've got two great family films there.
That's
great. On Sunday afternoon. So either Back to the Future Part 2 or Beetlejuice, ITV2, Five Star.
That's great. Yeah, I like both of those. So that'll be superb. Kat?
I've gone for Saturday. I haven't seen this film, but the ending's been spoilt for me with several Talking Head Channel 4 shows. It's called Shallow Grave. It's on Channel 4, 10 past midnight.
I concur. I've gone for Shallow Grave at 10 past midnight on Channel 4 from 1994. It's Danny Boyle's first film that really sort of broke him. Ewan McGregor in it looking so young.
Batman.
It's all been confirmed as well. Trainspotting 2 is happening. Danny Boyle and Ewan McGregor have patched things up properly. So it is actually happening.
No.
They'll start filming in September.
No.
Yeah, it's happening. That's great news. Shallow Grave, if you've never seen it before, it's an excellent film. Danny Boyle is an excellent filmmaker. It's just a great story, this one as well. Keith Allen stars right at the beginning. It's not in it for the long. Christopher Eccleston, of course, in it. It's a great film, isn't it?
What's his name? Johnny Lee Miller, isn't he? No, am I thinking of? No, it's not.
I think you're thinking
of.
The Shallow Grave was my second film. My final film then is on Sunday on ITV3, 10:20, Parenthood. Which is Steve Martin. It's Ron Howard directing and writing. Sometimes it can be a little bit sentimental. Mm. It's not overly sentimental, but I love Steve Martin. And I think this is one of his great films because it's a great ensemble cast in this. Rick Moranis in one of his last movies before he sort of left the film business completely. Martha Plimpton, Mary Steenburgen, Keanu Reeves, Deanne West, Jason Robards. It's superb. It really, really is great. I just always love it. I always love it. And it's just one of those films, if it's ever on, I'll watch it. 10:20, ITV3 Sunday. You got a final film, Kat?
Yeah, it's possibly one of my favourite films. I quote it pretty much every day. You're going to judge me. It's on 5 Star on Saturday at 2:00, 3 Men and a Little Lady.
Oh, you Americans and your large erections. I remember that line more than anything. I've seen that film a ridiculous amount of times.
Yeah, me too. I know all. I probably know from start to finish.
I would probably say yes as well, only for the fact that I was working at the cinema when that film was on. So I watched it constantly because it was on and I was tearing the tickets, and then we'd watch the film and I saw it so often. You'd wait for those jokes, the erection joke and all the jokes, just to see how the cinema reacted to them. That's what I always enjoyed doing.
One of my I took my friends to see a Star Wars film, one with Jar Jar Binks in.
Don't do that. That's not even a Star Wars film.
And then a sleepover. And then I played them through Men and a Little Lady, and I overheard someone saying it was the worst birthday party ever.
Oh, you poor girl! The worst birthday party ever. Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, and Three Men and a Little Lady. Half of that was right about being the worst birthday party ever. When's that on again?
Saturday at 2:00.
On
5 Star.
5 Star. Brilliant stuff. We'll have more movie chatter at the same time next week on Radio Yorkshire. If you've missed any of this, it'll be up online a little bit later on. Have a look at radioyorkshire.co.uk or follow us on Twitter at radio_Yorkshire or on Facebook as well. Kat, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.